Checking on the Arch is made possible by the Halloran Center at the Orpheum. And coming up on this Saturday in the Edge District is the inaugural Memphis Literary Arts Festival. It's going to be a lot of exciting things happening. It's put on by the Center for Southern Literary Arts, and I've got three of the authors and founders here with me, Zandria Robinson, Alice Faye Duncan, and Jamie Hatley. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
We're so excited.
Zandria, you and Jamie are two of the founders of the Center for Southern Literary Arts. So tell us a little bit about this group and how this came about.
Yeah, so we were on last week, and I told a little bit of the story, but I want to say again to the listeners who haven't heard, we were despairing a little bit by some of the changes that were happening in the literary scene here. Novel hadn't come back yet.
Right.
The Memphis the Mid-South Book Festival, which Kevin Dean and the lovely folks at Literacy Mid-South, Knox Shelton, had done, was going on hiatus indefinitely.
Right.
We thought that maybe some MFA programs were in peril. And so we really were like, as writers and folks from the city and as folks descended from generations of storytellers, that we wanted to fill in the gap a little bit in order to be able to continue to tell and capture those stories and hopefully inspire other folks to build and bring other kinds of organizations that focus on literary arts too.
Yeah. That's a big job.
It is. somebody had to do it.
We have to live here.
We live here.
Our mamas live here.
Yeah.
Our families do.
So the big thing is the festival, which is coming up, as we said, this Saturday in the Edge District.
Yes.
So what all is going to be happening?
So it actually kicks off with a benefit dinner on Friday night at Premier Palace, and that is dinner at the Hibiscus Salon. It's going to have food from Desmond Arthur, Chef D. Arthur Catering, and there are going to be some additional special guests, including the author, Jackson, Mississippi author, and University of Mississippi Professor Kiese Lehman, Andrea Morales, the wonderful photographer who's captured so much of the movement activity here recently in Memphis, is going to have some work, and the Americana musician Adia Victoria is going to perform. It is going to be lovely and wonderful, and they're going to be Krispy Kreme donuts in the bread pudding. That's the only thing I will leave about the menu. And then the next day is the festival.
Right.
9 to 5, we're going to have a street fair that Literacy Mid-South has so graciously partnered with us to sponsor. And that's got all kinds of vendors. That's got all kinds of publishers and authors selling things, cake pops and all kinds of stuff there that is happening, and food trucks and so forth. And then simultaneously with the street fair, there is a number of panels, which I know Jamie and Alice will talk a bit about some of the panels, but there'll be panels going on all day from 9 to 4:30. At lunch, we invite everybody to come, and this is free and open to everyone. We want Big Memphis to come out. And at lunch, there's going to be a Memphis jazz lunch featuring Ekpe Abioto and the African Jazz Ensemble. And these are some of the most dynamic and legendary OG jazz artists from the city, from all of these wonderful high schools that produce all these jazz musicians. And so come for that. If for nothing else, come for that. Stay a little while for the sessions. And after that, there is an after party.
Of course
there is, with Siphonet, the DJ. And so it's going to be a splendid and wonderful time all day on Saturday.
Sounds like it. Before we get any further, I want to urge people to go to memphisliteraryartsfestival.org, and mm-hmm. you can get all the schedule and all the information there. Jamie Hatley, as we said, you're one of the founders of this group and organizers of this festival. So in terms of the panels and the things that people can go to, what's going to be happening there?
I have on so many hats, you can't see them in the radio. I'm a founder, I've been running around, I have clipboards, but I mean, really, the story of who I am is on the panels of what I'm doing. So
sure.
The panel that I'm featured on is the Oxford American panel. It was their 100th issue, and so they were the first people to published me. The Oxford American pulled me out of the slush. This was back when you still had to put a stamp in it on the mail.
So they could send it.
And I was so embarrassed. I had put it out, and it wasn't even time for them to get it, but I had gotten, like, just a solicitation letter, and I thought, like, oh, I'm going to be famous, right? And I'm still not famous. But here I am still writing with them, and I am sharing space on that panel with Crystal Wilkinson, and I don't even know if Crystal remembers it, but back when Novel was Davis Kidd, what I would do is stand in the back of the line, because I was shy. No one believes me anymore, but I was, but I was standing in the back of the line, so I would get enough courage up to say one thing that wouldn't embarrass me to the big fancy writer, and she was so kind, and I still remember that. And that's, we talked about writing, you know, mentors, and I talk about this whole lineage that I come from of women, like Tiare Jones. I did the same thing meeting her, and she was our very first Lyceum main stage guest. She had just, it was just official that she was the Oprah Book Club pick, and she's my friend, and I met her because of the community that we had here. That's why it was such urgent for us to make sure that we had a robust literary community. And so I'm just excited, and my mama and daddy are coming to see that. So, and they will be, they're in their 80s, and I have my cousin bringing them over, and they're very cute, so you should say hey to them and give them a hug. And so, I mean, going through lineages, then you put my moderator hat on. So I'm moderating a panel. I don't know if there's ever been a panel like this, because my literary mentor in Memphis, every black writer who's any good, you have to go through Papa, author, Ricky Doc Flowers. You go sit at his feet, and guess what? He barks. He will tell you the first time, you know, I had gone to his book sign, did the same thing. Cherie Renee Thomas, who is not here, but is a vital part of the Memphis community. We were girls together. She happens to be off at another festival, but we were girls together and dreamed together of being writers. We actually worked for Beverly Robertson, who went on to go. We worked at her when it was Trust Marketing, and I pulled out. She said, I didn't even know I wanted to be, I could be a writer then, but she knew. And I tore out this Black Enterprise magazine. Mm-hmm. One of the people in there ended up being her agent. The next one published her book. And so now she's famous. She's edited Dark Matter series, which is one of the first speculative fiction anthologies. And actually, she'll be publishing me soon. I have an essay coming up there. And so, like, that whole lineage of that. And the panel has Arthur Flowers as Courtney Alexander. And so I just know from my community here, this is a woman who has made a tarot deck that is inspired by black archetypes. And the minute someone said that to me, I was like, what?
Huh.
I was like, what? I didn't know there was such. And I was like, I must. Like, it sounds crazy, but this is all about storytelling.
Sure.
Memphis has a rich history of folk magic. We had the site of one, it's forgotten. The Lorraine still stands, but there used to be a place called the Eureka Hotel, where they said Dizzy Gillespie wrote Sophisticated Ladies. Duke Ellington wrote Sophisticated Ladies. And it's erased from the cultural memory.
Yeah.
So we're going to gather them up. And then we have, Zandria already mentioned Ekpe Abioto. He's been pouring libations forever. He's like the spiritual godfather. And like, and when you are in his presence, you feel at peace, right? I was rushing to get something, and he was crossing the street. I slowed down and just calmed down. And just, you know, I just let people, like, no, we have to stop. And he is honoring us by opening the ceremony of the day's events, pouring libations, and then closing us out, because we believe these rituals are important. I lived 10 years in Louisiana, and I think the thing, we have the same river, we have the same problems with poverty, we have the same problems with violence, but there are cultural things that thread all of those things together. We have them here, but they've been forgotten, but we will bring them back and home. And so I don't want
to
get
them to the next generation.
Speaking of the next generation, look, can you hear this on the radio? I happen to be wearing earrings made by one of our young Vanguard panelists, Taliba Sophia, and she is a songstress. She makes earrings. She is a poet. So we want to bring all the generations together. Usually it's the elders over here. It's the middle peer. No, we're going to loop everybody together, and we're going to share our stories and live true in Memphis.
There you go. Speaking of generations, other generations, younger generations, Alice Faye Duncan is here, who is a children's book author. So what are you going to tell us about? What are you going to bring to us in the festival?
Well, my panel is called The Future Has a Past, Writing Historical Fiction for Children and Adults.
Uh-huh.
My panel guest along with me, I will be with Ravi Howard, who is the author of the novel Driving the King, which is a historical fiction about Nat King Cole in the segregated South, specifically the city of Alabama. Ravi and I are going to talk about things that writers who want to write for children or adults can do to actually break into print. I guess the subtitle to our workshop would be for all of those aspiring writers, for all of those writers who may be publishing but want to take their career to another level. So a subtopic to our panel might be Five Roads to Publishing. And so in the panel, we encourage, or we want, if you are an aspiring writer, come and be with us on Saturday. If you are a writer, come and be with us to be with your tribe on Saturday. If you love books, come to be with us to find out how books are created and to perhaps be pricked with the bug of now coming over to our tribe and being an aspiring writer. Specifically, in terms of like the road to publishing, we're going to talk about things like aspiring writers and writers having a passion for the subject. Another road to publishing is finding a room of your own where you can write. Another road to publishing will be we're going to encourage writers, aspiring writers, specifically when you are writing nonfiction, when you are writing historical fiction, because you are writing of different times maybe that you are not living in, and it is sometimes difficult to feel the energy of from that time, we're going to encourage aspiring writers to use playlists to transport themselves to a distant time. We're going to talk about, again, finding primary sources. I was speaking with Ravi Howard in preparation for the panel discussion, and he was saying so eloquently that, you know, when we are reading books, nonfiction books, and particularly when we're reading books, there is the information that is in the book,
mm-hmm.
but then there is also the information that is in the community. So bringing that makes me think of my own book. My own book, which is going to be released in August, is Memphis, Martin, and the Mountaintop. It's a children's book about the sanitation strike. And as Ravi was saying, there is the story that my book is speaking about, which is, you know, what happened. But then there is that book, the story that's on the ground in the community.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about one martyr in my book. I'm talking about Martin Luther King. But when I did research on my book, there was not one martyr in the sanitation strike. There were two martyrs. And the second martyr was Larry Payne, who was the first martyr. But nobody talks about that. And so if you come to our workshop, we're going to be talking about how to get to those primary sources. And sometimes it's no nice and prim proper way to get to them. Sometimes you just have to knock on their door. Sometimes you just have to call their ex-husband and say, give me that email address. and so that's what we're going to be talking about. This is for the community. This is something that the community is starving for. I am a writer. Jamie is a writer. Zandria is a writer. And every day that we wake up and we go into the community and somebody on the street discovers that we are writing, the next thing out of their voice is, I want to write a book.
Well, you need to write a book about me.
Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story real quick.
Let me grab your arm, Jamie. And we listen, and we steal from it, too.
Jamie, look, and here's the thing. Jamie listened. Zandria listened. And so they said, you know what, person? I'm not just going to show you how to write a book. I'm going to draft an entire literary arts festival for your pleasure, for your edification. And that is the Memphis Literary Arts Festival, which will happen this Saturday. Don't miss it.
It's going to be big. We've been talking about the Memphis Literary Arts Festival, the first one. It is put on by our good friends at the Center for Southern Literary Arts. And if you'd like more information, go to memphisliteraryartsfestival.org. This is a huge event, and you guys, I know, are probably just about worn out because it's in 2 days.
There's no time to be worn out. We can be worn out next week. I'm fine. I had 2 hours, 15 minutes of sleep. I'm fine. Just give me a coffee immediately after, and I'm back at it. I'm ready.
Well, it's an exciting thing, and I'm so glad that you're doing it, and I want to encourage people to go to, as I said, to memphisliteraryartsfestival.org, or you can also go to Twitter and Instagram at Southern Lit Arts, Facebook Southern Lit Arts, and all of those things. So take advantage of this. Go down to the Edge District. We haven't talked about the Edge District, because that's a good point. This is a new venue for this kind of thing.
Yes.
Some people may not be familiar with it. So.
Yes, we love the Edge District.
The Edge loves us. They have been so supportive.
And people will know where Sun Studio is, which is the mouth of the Edge District.
That's how I tell people to get
there. Right, go to Sun Studio. But for us, the Edge was attractive because not only had we spent a lot of time in that community because the old Hattaloo Theater was there. But it had this rich history of both musical production, artistry, theater, and also cars in industry.
Cars, yes.
And so
somebody's putting a car museum down there.
Right. And so this intersection of art and industry says so much about Memphis, and it's the Edge is exemplary of that kind of intersection. And I think, as I said before, that the Edge is this place where the idea of a grit and grind Memphis really can come to fruition. You can see like what is created there and what's possible there. The Edge does love us quite a lot, and we love them.
Yeah, because we have High Cotton is one of our sponsors, and we were planning to have an outdoor venue, but it's going to be 95 degrees.
So it's
going to
be hot.
Very last minute, Jody and the people at River Deep Church stepped up for us with great kindness. I mean, the whole community, the people at the Premier Palace,
the
Martial Arts, all of our venues.
The Pinkney.
I mean, Tim and his gracious staff. One day I was there. I was working so hard. I had on my workout clothes that day. I had not even gotten a bath. I had not brushed my teeth. I was at his shop from 10:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. I had coffee, I had food, I had tea, and then I had 2 old fashions. And then I went out. And then this is what I did, because we have community partners all over the city. At 5 p.m., I rushed off to a meeting with Zandria over at the Fourway. I had my shoes to go to Knox Shelton's Literacy Mid-South event, Literatini. I had my shoes in the car. They were still with that string, so I had to drag after hours my shoes and beg them at the Fourway to cut my shoes apart so I could rush over to support Knox Shelton in that wonderful initiative, because they've been so supportive of us.
And that's how the neighborhood loves us, and we want to show this love to the neighborhood. We plan to continue this festival. It's our inaugural, but we plan to continue this festival in the Edge District to really bring attention to that small sliver of space where so much magical culture was created, and we want to contribute to continuing that legacy there.
The inaugural Memphis Literary Arts Festival, it is this Saturday in the Edge District. We haven't even talked about things like food trucks and live entertainment and kids' activities. WKNO's Teacher is going to be there, because we're actually one of the sponsors of this event.
Yes, thank you so much.
And River Deep has some little tiny chairs. It's going to be so cute.
Very nice.
They will let me borrow it. I wanted it to be a surprise. I can't tell.
It's going to be a fun time. MemphisLiteraryArtsFestival.org for all the information. Zandria Robinson, Alice Faye Duncan and Jamie Hatley, my guests today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Onstage at the Halloran Center Theater Series, featuring the toe-tapping musical Ain't Misbehavin', the National Players production of Arthur Miller's drama The Crucible, and the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players in The Pirates of Penzance. Details at orpheum-memphis.com.